Hello, everybody.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. We're live here on the House of Armageddon with your host, me, Armageddon Ed, waiting for my cohorts to call in this evening. If I could figure out how to actually get on the page here to do this, been off for the last couple weeks, but here we are. We're back. I appreciate Jay and the guys filling in for me while I wasn't available. And bear with me while I find the dashboard so I can answer my calls. Hey, for anybody that wants to call in, give a call to 347-857-3667. That's the number for the House Armageddon. Jay, you got it, brother? 347-857-3667. All right, brother. All right, everybody, so here we are once again, the House Armageddon, waiting for my co-host, Jason Kerner, to call in. And a lot of exciting stuff going on. Hopefully we'll hear from the Jersey Horror Scene's Tony the Truth shortly. And Rude Ron, I believe, will be calling in this evening. So it should be a very action-packed evening. As always, broadcasting live from Atlantic City, New Jersey. And appreciate everybody that's listening in and all the fans out there of the House Armageddon and the Horror Scene, now on Horror Scene Radio, no longer with B-Movies Radio, but on Horror Scene Radio here on Blog Talk. So as always, check us out at www.thehorrorscene.com. All right, everybody, so we'll go ahead and get started. Baron Craze, if you're out there, I want to give you a shout-out. For everybody that listens, you got to listen to his show, Baron's Crypt. He also has that metal show that he does. It's quite good. So I would definitely suggest that everybody calls in when you get the chance. Make sure you listen to that. Call in. Check out his show. And, of course, the Horror Scene Show, hosted by Brian Enright and Mr. Tony the Truth. So definitely check that out. While I'm waiting for everybody to call in, you know, what do we have going on this week? Well, I really haven't seen any new movies, but Actually, I did see a new movie last week. I'm sure when the truth calls in, we'll talk more about it. But the truth and I went up to the world premiere of Jersey Shore Massacre last week up in New York City. And that was a pretty cool time. So, you know, I definitely suggest that movie. I know you could buy it out at Kmart, Amazon, FYE. I know it's listed on the Jersey Horror Scene page. So it's definitely worth checking out, and I would go see that one. And still waiting for Jason and my team to call in here. So we'll just hang on the line until they do. Hello, caller. You're on the House of Armageddon.
Hello, House of Armageddon.
What's going on, man?
Very nice. Not much. Very nice. I was wondering where everybody was at this evening. So far, no Truth, no Brian, no Ron. Obviously, no Kevin or Ryan. No Dave.
Mm.
But my cohort, for everyone that's listening, Jay, Walking Dead Films, Kerner. Big Daddy Jay himself, live on the House of Armageddon. So what's up, brother?
Not much, man. How was your week? Anything new?
No, man. I was just about to talk about it, actually. Hey, hear that? It's a cop car. It's Atlantic City. Go figure. All right. So we got this week, Tony and I last week went to the world premiere of Jersey Shore Massacre.
Oh,
last
God.
Tuesday night up in New York City. You know what? A good flick.
Come on,
I'm
really?
I'm telling you, good flick.
Oh, my God.
A genuinely good flick. Yes, yes. I mean, granted, bro, it's not The Exorcist. It's not going to rework anything. It's not Friday the 13th. It's not Nightmare on Elm Street.
It's not Ticket to Hell or Blood Lodge.
No,
gotcha.
No, of course not. No, it's not genre-defining. But I will say, it's got all the elements. Had hot chicks.
Okay.
A lot of booby shots. Pretty graphic death scenes, but done in a not angry or torture porn or violent sort of way.
Okay.
Good special effects. Did I mention really hot chicks? Really hot chicks. And, I'm telling you, bro. And believe it or not, the killer, which I'm not going to give anything away because it kind of has a whole twist ending. The killer is one of the better serial killers that I've seen in a film of the last 3 or 4 years.
Really?
I'm not just saying that. Yes.
I'm actually drooling here. Now I got to see it. You know, I'll watch it tonight.
It's definitely worth seeing. Now, don't get me wrong. It's definitely, if you're not from New Jersey or you're not a fan of Jersey Shore, which it obviously parodies, I don't know if you're going to really be into it. But if you're willing to overlook those elements, I think you could definitely enjoy the film.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, yeah, give that a shot. I'll check it out. I'll make sure I pirate it tonight sometime.
Well, I know you can get it on Amazon. You can get it at FYE. You can get it at Kmart. Mm-hmm. I think you can even get it on iTunes. I think I read somewhere that it was like the 23rd most popular horror film on iTunes.
I'm actually shocked. So, you got my interest.
I wouldn't
I'll
just
check
tell
that
you.
Out.
I wouldn't just say, oh, yeah, you know, good flick. I know when Tony calls in later, though, we'll really get into the nuts and bolts of it because obviously when Tony and I get together, you know, it's quite an experience. We got there late, you know. We got stuck in traffic for like an hour and a half getting into Manhattan. Go figure. You know, it just missed the regular rigmarole of getting into New York. You know, we were there and got to meet the cast, got to meet the director, his wife, and everybody else, got to see the Howard Stern personalities that were in the film. The young actresses that were in it, and, you know, just, and they got invited to the after party. So it was a really good time. Really good time. So, well, more about that as we get into the show. Once again, as always, I give a shout-out to the rest of the people that do the show here with us. Give a shout-out to Baron of Baron's Crypt, his new Shredding Metal show also. Baron, feel free
Shredding
to call
metal.
Him because I think Baron, I don't know, I haven't talked to him, but I saw a picture from J Horror Happen K's Horror Happens Radio Film Festival, which is past weekend. We've been talking about that show the past couple weeks. And that was Saturday, which I would have loved to have went, but, you know, I'm always working weekends. But, and I saw a picture of Baron there, so I'm thinking that Baron covered it for the Jersey horror scene, or the horror scene, or Rogue Cinema, or somebody he covered it for. So I'm very interested. I know he was definitely, I think I saw he was wearing his horror scene shirt. That was pretty cool. So I definitely want to see how that was. I know they showed a film by like Mike O'Mahony. They showed a film by Liam Macrogiannis. I mean, these are all people that we've had on the show in the past. And I've been on JFK's show also. So definitely interested to see what that was about.
Well, that's awesome. Very cool, man.
Yeah, so Baron, send us a message or call in, bro. Let us know what's up with that.
Yeah. Can't forget our other craze panelists. Rude Ron, Brian Enright, all those crazy cats.
And the Truth. The Truth was, as always, trucking all around the country like he does. Hisoy was pretty involved in a pretty spirited Facebook discussion with somebody yesterday about his ability to use the English language and use punctuation properly.
I know.
And, that doesn't usually seem to go well. I'm not going to make any threats or anything. I'm not that type, but I got to tell you, I mean, that's like playing Russian roulette, messing with the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what my man's thinking.
Nah, I know. They just don't understand. Plus, you know,
yeah,
I was thinking, kids these days. You know, he is around a lot, so I have him in my, you know, in my phone as BJ McKay and the truth. Just so either one, because he is all he's missing is Bear, that little chimpanzee, which we should invest in one and get him one for a little road entertainment for him when he's driving.
Yeah. We're really showing our age, because if we were to say, like, you know, Greg Evigan, BJ and the Bear, Sheriff Lobo, I'm sure that the Landers sisters, I'm sure they would have no idea what we were talking about.
Yeah, Claude Atkins was Sheriff Lobo, rest in peace.
Yes. Sheriff Lobo was a better show than...
I thought it was great.
BJ and the Bear. BJ and the Bear was awesome.
Yeah, I thought it was a great show. They don't even have reruns. You would think back in TV world or on that show where they played, like, Different Strokes, The Facts, like all these older TV shows, Honeymooners, that they would play that. They even played The Bionic Man, which I love The Bionic Man. When I was young.
Wait, do you watch that TV channel where everything's still square? It's still like in the original, like, what's that, 14:9 format?
Yeah, the format, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
That's good stuff.
You know, I want to give I want to mention, you know, how we always talk about, like, pick of the week movie-wise and what to watch and what not to watch. I got two of them. This one you might have heard. It's called Raz. By Zoe Bell. You know who Zoe Bell is, right?
Isn't she the stunt chick?
Yep. She's a stunt chick.
She was in Death Proof, right?
Yeah, and she was in Django. She did all the stunts for Uma Thurman in Kill Bill 1 and 2. So this is like...
Still haven't seen Django, but I'm told that I have to watch this.
Excellent. Django was an excellent movie. Excellent movie.
Rude Ron is the one that told me I have to see it. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Yeah. Yeah, those who are like...
Although he
kind of
ruined the movie for me because he told me everything about it.
Yeah, those who are like Black Panther, you know, Peace and Power, it's just not to watch it because they're not going to like to see everybody getting... the way these guys get whipped and tortured and talked to. It's a real reality slap to see how things were, you know, 130 years ago. You know, it definitely is, but it was done well and... Jamie Foxx was excellent in Django, but I'm getting ahead of myself here. But yeah, she was in it. She plays one of the Wranglers in it, and she does this movie. It's called Raz, and it's with Doug Jones. He played Abe Safian, the fish guy on Hellboy.
In the Hellboy movie, I met him once at a convention. Nice guy.
Nice guy, very nice guy. So he's in that movie too, and it's about, you know, 50 women get like kidnapped, and they all have to wear the same clothes as a pair of gray sweatpants and a white guinea pig. And they have to fight each other. Raz, R-A-Z-A.
Raz. All right, are these hot chicks, or are these like chicks that should be wearing? Like,
yes.
Okay.
No. They're hot chicks, and they've been kidnapped, and they're you know, like two of them have to go in an elevator. They have to go to this dirt circle rock room, and they have to fight to the death. If they don't fight, they already have the closest people to these abducted women as, you know, for hostages. Like if the woman says, I'm not going to fight, the guy will say, look to your left on the screen and say hi to your mom, and she's waving to her, you know, so her mom's there. And you see a gun go to the mom's head and shoot the mom, kill her. So then they must fight. Yes, they have to fight. And if they don't, somebody they love, whether it's their child or another family member, will get murdered in front of them. So they have no choice. And let me tell you, the fight scenes, especially with Zoe Bell, were so disturbingly graphic. Listen, man, we've all been in fights. And we're all in the heat and the thick of fights growing up. You know how we lived, Ed. You and I, we were bouncers. You know, so we know a lot about fighting. And I remember to the point where I used to get into fights, and then I know to stop myself, especially when it gets too far. They pushed the envelope, and they went too far. that's how brutal the fight scenes are. They're really rough to watch and very realistic. Very realistic.
All right, so how do you spell this movie? R-A-Z? Raz?
R-A-Z-E.
Oh, Raze.
Yeah, R-A-Z-E. It's Raz or Raze, whatever, however they pronounce it. She's from New Zealand, so it's like her movie. So I don't know how it's like, that's how I pronounce it. So that
Well, the word Raze means like destruction.
Yes, yes. Okay, that's it, then Raze. Because they really have to, you know, they're killing. And there's, you know, it's funny, one of these women that get abducted, kidnapped, she doesn't care. She doesn't mind about fighting. She loves it. And it's just great to see her get hers. That's all I'm saying. That's a movie go see. That is something I stand behind. When people watch it, comment, you know, or call us next week and let us know what you thought of it. Because I love to hear everybody's input, because I know that some of the scenes, and I've seen a lot of things in life, were hard to watch, you know. So it was a very good movie.
Here's what I found on IMDb. Raze, a horror action film, focuses on two abducted women and 50 other women who are forced to fight others using their bare hands. Directed by Josh C. Waller.
And the rich people, it's funny because they're multi-millionaire rich people. They're all together, and they're paying to watch these women fight each other to the death.
Oh, it's got Rachel Nichols in it. She's ridiculously hot.
Yeah, don't. I know. I can't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's the light blue, light-haired, blue-eyed broad.
Yeah, she's a bitch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now.
Yeah.
The movie, another movie that was okay, but I mean, I wouldn't even rent it on Redbox. If it's free on one of those, you know, online, then watch it if you got some time. Is Dolph Lundgren. A new movie called Battle of the Damned. Now, that's a zombie movie. He plays Major Max Gatlin, which is a fantastic name to have in a movie. Major Max Gatlin. Love the name.
Okay.
He's hired by this guy to find this guy's daughter. And they're in a wasteland, and the daughter, her father, is the one that created a virus that turned everybody into zombies. So he hired Dolph Lundgren to go into this wasteland to find his daughter and bring her out, get her home. And it was okay. Zombies were those zombies that run fast. Like, honestly,
they're not really zombies. They're infected.
They're infected, and they're bloody, flesh-eating zombies. They're infected, but they are, you know what? They chase you like you got a pork chop hanging from your belt, and you can't run fast enough. But these motherfuckers are on you like white on rice.
I pulled up the IMDb, so let me do that. In a world where a deadly viral outbreak, private military soldier Max Gatling leads a handful of survivors and a ragtag band of robots against an army of the infected. Is that pretty accurate?
Pretty accurate, and the robots were cool as hell. That was the only saving grace of this movie, were those robots. They were badass.
Yeah, they look like Cylons, bro, in the picture that I'm looking at.
Oh, they so do. If anybody looked at the old... The Black Hole, the movie with Maximilian Schell back in the 70s, that movie was made. And the one on, you know, Android in that movie, the main one, it reminded me of them, of him, you know, that that robot. So it was pretty cool. That was the only saving grace. That was good. I liked it. It was entertaining for 3 in the morning. Raze is something that I would definitely, I'd see it again. Just with somebody that didn't see it, like, it was good. It was good.
All right, do you want to hear the taglines for this film?
Sure.
Battle of the Damned. He didn't come here to be a hero, but things change.
Oh, God.
Wait. When the battle is intense, you've got to bring it to the max.
Oh, my God. Max. Oh, my God.
Oh, all right. So that's the taglines for this film.
Yeah.
Who believes everything you read on the Internet?
Oh, Major Max Gatlin. Bring it to the max. Oh, God.
Major Max Gatling. I wonder if Ron calls in, if he has anything good to say about Dolph Lundgren. I mean, he's not Channing Tatum. So,
no, he's not Channing Tatum.
No.
You know, and I do, and I know we're going to discuss this later, but I do have my pick for Girl of the Week.
Who's your Girl of the Week?
All right, you might not know her, and I'll give you a couple of
movies.
Okay,
it's just you and me on right now. As far as I'm concerned, everybody else loses their pick for not calling in yet.
Okay.
Oh, wait.
Rona.
Wait, I think we got the... Hang on. Rona Meach, we lost them. Truth. Oh.
Truth.
We just lost the truth. I was
Rona
just
Mitra.
Going to pick up his call. Rona Mitra is ridiculously hot.
Oh, my God. She's 38 years old. She is... That is my pick of the week. Actually, she is my pick of the month.
She's ridiculously hot.
Absolutely gorgeous. She was on Underworld, Rise of the Lycans, Doomsday, Skinwalkers,
yes.
Beowulf, with Christopher Lambert. She is so she's stunningly beautiful. Sex appeal, scream sex appeal. From the rafters, scream sex appeal. Absolutely gorgeous,
yeah.
Stunning. She is my pick of the month.
Okay, but who's hotter? You brought up Underworld. Her or Kate Beckinsale? They're both
Kate
hot.
They're both hot, but Kate Beckinsale, she couldn't shine Rona Mitra's shoes.
Really? You think so?
Rona Mitra has that lust that Kate Beckinsale is so pretty and sexy. She's cute. But Rona Mitra has that hot, steamy sex, just gorgeous, like hard and, you know, just, you know what I mean?
She
brings it. She fucking brings it.
And she has like an exotic look.
She's so, well, you know what's funny? Her father was a famous
surgeon. Guess who we got on the line here? A famous surgeon. We got a famous surgeon on the line right now, and his name's The Truth.
The Truth.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you all been?
Good.
Your
are you
your brother, what's
right
going
now?
On?
I'm on the fucking road in Virginia, you know, that shithole fucking state that keeps seeming to fucking bring me down and piss me off all at the same time.
Yeah. Well, Truth, we have a little bit of a debate. We got a debate going on here. Okay, you ready for it?
I'm ready for anything. Let me hear it.
Kate Beckinsale or Rona Mitra? Truth?
Oh, wow.
Come on, before you beat your putt into unconsciousness, what is it?
Rita.
Rona Mitra. Yes.
No, Rita. I'm thinking of fucking Italian ice. I'm going with Rita.
Okay. That's different.
Listen, you guys try to play this game without me, and the truth of the matter is it's my fucking game. Nobody's opinion matters but mine when I pick the hot babe of the week.
Listen,
you know,
we were playing this game on the House of Armageddon before you were even on, bro. Hot Chick of the Week is a staple of this show.
How come for the 2 months that I was there on the show, we never played it?
Yeah, we did.
Nah, fuck it. It doesn't matter. My pick's still the one that matters. And I'm going with it.
It's a group pick. I think that we're all buddies here, and I think we have some pretty good picks. What's your thoughts on that? What's your pick, Tate?
I'm going to go with Rachel Hoffman.
Really?
You always go with these people that, like, they you have to go with people that the audience knows. I know Rachel Hoffman is a friend of yours, and she's a model, correct?
Yeah, she is, and she's got tattoos, and that's all that matters to me.
But I think you need to go more mainstream. Like, a couple weeks ago, you picked a girl who was a friend of you in Carnage the Demented Clown. Doesn't work that way. It has to be a mainstream actress. Or, you know, even like a low-budget actress, as long as she's somehow involved in the entertainment community.
A mainstream actress.
But
Jessica Alba.
Jessica Alba. She's cute. She is. She's a cutie. But out of the two, out of Kate Beckinsale and Rona Mitra, who's incredible, who do you think out
Kate,
of the two?
Hands down.
Oh, really? I'm shocked. I think Kate,
you
like Kate I said
Beckinsale?
To... I think she's cute.
Well,
and she has...
she, she could very well be one of the hottest chicks who ever lived, except for the fact that the English accent would annoy the hell out of me. But as far as aesthetics and looking at her, she's unbelievable. Now, wait, there's one that I haven't brought up lately, or I hadn't brought up before, but I wish I had brought up last week. Or did I? Alicia Cuthbert. I watched that movie House of Wax again the other day. Oh, I did?
You brought him up last week.
Well, that's good because maybe she's the hottest chick ever. So I get to bring her up more than once. And I think I might even say Diane Lane's up there too. Don't worry, Diane Lane's up there too.
Dude, I cut my balls off just to fuck Diane Lane, all right?
That would be counterproductive.
Now, would you fuck Diane Lane in Rumblefish or fuck Diane Lane at Under the Tuscan Sun? Which Diane Lane
Rumblefish.
Would you fuck?
Rumblefish.
Rumblefish.
Listen, I fucked Diane Lane dead in a casket, almost to bones, all right?
That's fucking wrong, bro.
But that's the truth, and that's why we love him. that is the truth. So I do, I got to stand by the truth and say, I tip my hat to him, and I agree.
So, Truth, I got to ask you, is your cohort, Mr. Brian Enright, going to be calling in this evening?
I don't know. I know he's been extremely busy with our website. I know that he's going to, the Weekend of Fear, Dave Madison's Weekend, or whatever the fuck it's called. I keep forgetting the name.
Okay.
He's going to that with our very own Mr. Rude Ron.
Is Rude Ron calling in?
I don't know. Rude Ron doesn't have a new number to call in, so if he was going to call in, he would have had to have contacted me prior.
Aha.
Aha. This is true.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, I'm going to do a science project here. I'm going to see if I can pick this call up at another location.
Okay.
So, stand by, guys.
What was that?
You're going to try to pick up a call in another location and see if it works.
What happened to Mr. Rude Ron?
He doesn't have the new number. We have a brand new number that you call, but that's the new number. I just got it myself. And I had to fix it on Facebook because I had the old number. You know, so here's our new one, which is 347-857-3667. So if you're out there, Rude Ron, anybody wants to call in, dump the old number and call 347-857-3667.
Nice. And you guys can still hear me, right?
Perfectly.
I can still hear you fine.
All right, you guys talk amongst yourselves because I'm just trying out a few other things with other phones and stuff here.
You know, I was telling Ed that I saw this movie, two movies. A movie that's a must see. It's called Rays with Zoe Bell. You know the Zoe Bell, she's that New Zealand stunt woman. She was in Django. She played Uma Thurman's stunt double in Kill Bill 1 and 2.
Right.
She made this movie, Tone. And it's about these women that get, abducted, and they are forced to fight in twos, one and one. And these rich people had them kidnapped, and they are forced to fight. And if they don't fight, they tell them to look up at the screen. So if they have two people that have to fight, if one of them doesn't fight, they'll say, okay, look up to the screen. And they have somebody, like a family member or a daughter or their mom, and they'll wind up killing them right there. And they'll say, we'll kill the rest of your family if you don't fight. So these women have to fight because they show that they show proof that they have their loved ones. So if they don't fight, the loved ones are dead. And they must fight to the death. And I was telling Ed, no holds barred, no bullshit, some of the best fucking fighting sequences. It was so rough to watch. It was good, man, real good movie. So you get a chance to see it. It's spelled R-A-D-E.
I heard about that movie. I seen... little trailers for it. And all I can think of is the 1980s, that movie with Eric Roberts. You remember when it was
Best of the Best?
Not
Best
of the Best. The movie where he was in the military and they took his daughter and his wife and there was all these other guys. It wasn't Best of the Best. Best of the Best is the martial arts movie. This is where put them all on an island and they had a fight, and if they didn't fight, they killed their whole family and shit, their mothers and everything else. That, it just brought back remnants of that, but with women in a nicer setting, you know, with more CGI, you know, CGI or more talented fighters, you know, if you want to go in that direction too.
Yeah, like this was, it looked real. That's the thing. Like, you see a lot of these movies, and you can tell when people are pulling their punches and when they're doing the fake punches with the sound effects. This looked fucking real. When she was bashing this one chick's face in with her hands, nonstop. I mean, nonstop. I mean, you're waiting any second for her to stop. It goes on for like a minute and a half, nonstop, until there's no face at all. It's just going through the back of the woman's skull. It's so violent that it was just like, wow. You know, so, and the guy, you know the guy, the fish guy from Hellboy? Remember the, he's in it. He's the guy that runs the show. People go to him to, and they pay him to put on these shows of these two women, of two women fighting. So it's like 50 women have to fight each other, 25 and 25, you know. And he's in it, and Sherilyn Fenn. And anybody who remembers her back in the 90s was smoking hot. Here she put on about 40, 50 pounds, still has a pretty face, but chunky. She's like his wife.
You know,
but
you ever see the movie The Wraith with Charlie Sheen?
Oh, yes. Yeah, of course.
She was ridiculously hot in that movie.
Anybody was ridiculously hot. I looked ridiculously hot back in 1984.
Don't fucking lie to yourself, Q-Ball.
Oh, that's just hurtful.
He had such big, luscious hair.
I did. I was so. I really did. And fucking shame, man. What the fuck?
Yeah. So I'm here on my Facebook. A while back, we had the guys from Time to Back Out Productions on the show, probably about 3 months ago, and they were filming their new movie, Desolation. And I just got an invite. Come see Time to Back Out Productions, LLC's newest feature film, Desolation, at the Roxy Movie Theater, Northampton, PA. The movie will begin at 2 o'clock on Saturday, September 20th.
That was the place that I secured for the venue for Blood Lodge.
Oh, really?
That's the place that a guy, he's in his late 60s, early 70s. He owns it outright. He was an usher there when he was a kid. It's a movie theater that's been around from the 1930s, and he restored it. He didn't redo it. He restored it with old wood and restored everything and the original velvet, red velvet seats. And it's absolutely one of the coolest theaters I've ever been to. It's right in Northampton. It's about 20 minutes away from where I used to live, and it costs $2.50 a ticket. That's it.
Sweet.
Yeah, and the guy was great. He was going to charge us $500 for the weekend.
Okay.
For a full
weekend. And then we would get
weekend.
To keep whatever the proceeds were, right?
Yep. The guy was going to take the concessions. And by the way, the concessions, a bag of popcorn, $2, not $9 like you go to Lowe's.
Oh, wow.
A thing of M&M's, you know, 50 cents, a box of Jujubes, 75 cents. Like, the guy really, he doesn't screw people. And he's the nicest guy, and I was told not to go to, unfortunately, we had that venue, and I had to cancel with that guy because I was told to. I'll get into that another date, by somebody that we are acquainted with, Ed. But he said if we ever wanted to down the road, he says, please keep them in mind. The guy was great. And the place, the Roxy, he has all, you know how you saw the movie The Majestic with Jim Carrey? That movie where...
I only saw the last 5 minutes.
You remember that scene?
Yeah, it was a great movie.
I thought it was one of Jim Carrey's best movies. It's one of his movies that he's not acting like a comedian in it. It was a great movie, and the theater in that movie, it's how they had with the lights outside and everything, the neon, that's how the Roxy is in Northampton, PA. They kept the original signs. He had the neon redone. Everything looks exactly the way it does. If you go inside, it has photos from like 1927 when the place opened up to now, and it looks exactly the way it did in 1927. Absolutely gorgeous. So if
Very cool. If
you're going, I would love to take a ride with you
with
you.
Hey, Eddie, sounds like you got another mandate for another movie.
Well, we were just talking about that a little while ago. As we all know, last week I went to go see the Jersey Shore Massacre with the Truth. So T and I went out to Manhattan, and we were invited. You know, we had seats. We wound up sitting in the wrong seats, but that's a whole other story. And went up there, but it was kind of funny. The only seats, we got there a little late, so the only seats available were five seats in the back. So, of course, Tony goes, hey, let's go take those seats. We went, we took the seats. They wound up being someone else's seats, but, you know, it was too late. We already had our big asses in them. And Tony sits right next to me. You know, when two guys are in a theater together, no matter how packed it is, ain't nobody sitting next to me unless it's a date. So, the Truth moved over, and we got to enjoy the movie. Truth, what was your take on the film? I already gave my recommendation for people to see it. What did you think?
You got to give it to me honestly.
I thought it was a good movie. I'm not going to lie. I thought the beginning was a little wordy, but I got to tell you, some of the best-looking broads that they could ever get on any kind of film that wasn't a porn, Jersey Shore Massacre did it.
That's funny you say that, Truth, because it's exactly, not the exact words that you used, because you're very profound when you explain something, but Ed said pretty much the same thing about the girls, about the acting, about the movie itself. He was surprisingly surprised that it was a good film, and now I got to see it tonight. You know, I'm watching it tonight, right?
and you know what the funniest thing about this whole thing is, right? I like Spanish broads. Now, I like all broads, except, you know, I got preferences.
Sure,
not really
everybody does.
That Italian loudmouth bitch, right? But after seeing that movie, you know, I was kind of, hey, I fuck them all.
Yeah, no.
The chick who's the lead in it, the girl who's the lead in it is absolutely gorgeous. Danielle, I hope I say her name right. Is it Danielle DeLacco or DeLaco? But in the movie, she actually looks, you know, with the makeup and the hair tease and the eyeliner and everything, she looks a lot older. But when you see her in person, absolutely gorgeous. Young girl and, you know, all the women. The truth is, the movie actually kind of took away from their looks a little bit. Not that they weren't attractive in the film, but obviously the teased hair and the too much makeup. When we were actually there in person with all the girls, it was quite a sight to see. Great cast, beautiful women, very enjoyable film.
Let me ask you a question, because, you know, I'm friendly with Paula Pickard. She used to date the situation on Jersey Shore. She was on the Jersey Shore show. Was she in that film?
No, I didn't see her in it.
She wants to be in one. She wants to be. Oh, she was, because she wants to be in one of our. Wants to be, you know, in one of our films. She said, "Whatever we do, just throw her in it." So, I didn't know she was acting in that, because she never acted before, except for the bullshit she did on the Jersey Shore. And, you know, I love the girl to death. Not the brightest or the sharpest knife in the drawer, but, you know, I was curious to see if she did act in it. If she was
let's not be hasty now. After seeing this movie, she can recognize a little bit of talent, because the movie was decent. I will say this, if she wants to be in one of the Walking Dead films, I am willing to sell you my copy of my script, where she can play an exotic dancer who can slide down my magic pole anytime she wants.
Now,
this
is
went
that
to
the
a dirty place
did,
really fast.
Now, is that the script that you did two sequels to, Truth? So it's Slide Down My Pole 1, 2, and 3?
No, there's actually like 11 parts to this one. You know, by the time 12 rolls around, I'm already tired and looking for a new talent.
I really like the one Slide Down Tony's Pole, Anal Grandma Christmas Story. That was a good one.
That was a classic. And you know what? My grandmother loved it.
Hey, let me tell you something. Just so you know, Anal Grandma, that grandma was only fucking 32. It's not my fault. She's from Alabama.
I hear you, brother. I hear you. So, I'm even confused. Who was it that you were offering to be in your movie? That Polachek or somebody from the Jersey Shore Massacre? Because we've got to church this up a bit, because I would actually like to get these people on for interviews on the show, which I know Brian's put together a whole slew of interviews. We just got to put them together.
Oh, so, I thought we were talking about J-Wop.
No, I don't know who we were talking about. I have no problem with J-Wop. I really have no problem with anybody from the Jersey Shore, if anything.
Me neither. I thought it was very good. I think you can recognize talent, didn't I?
Yeah. Yeah. But it was definitely a star-studded occasion.
It is a very good movie. I'm not going to lie. The women in it were absolutely gorgeous in real life. There was the one that we had to, you know, we ate pizza with that was in that next room. And then when we went to the after party, God damn.
If you could find the after party, I'm not going to give it up and say where it was, but it was very difficult to find. By the time we found it, it was hours later. So pretty much Tony and I wandered the streets and like ate hot dogs and pizza and finally made our way there, you know, casually late. So
the funniest thing is we had balcony seats and then sat down with the general people.
Yeah. Yeah, we definitely sat in the wrong spot, no doubt about it.
I found that to be, we should have looked at the tickets, but I was like, all right, cool, we got tickets, let's go.
We
walked
upstairs, were in such a hurry to get there, we just went in, but we were supposed to be somewhere else. But anyway, whatever.
And then we ate pizza, and then we went to the after party, and we ate Joe Papaya hot dogs.
Papaya hot dogs and shit. By the time we got there, I probably consumed like 6,000 calories. It was disgusting, Jay. You would have been sickened by us. Because Jay eats so healthy and shit. Jay would have been absolutely sickened by us.
You know, it's funny, though. When we got there, you know, it was amazing how all the food was healthy. And as soon as we showed up, it was time to eat.
Jay, you still there, brother? Jay? Jay? I think we lost Jay, bro.
Is he whacking it?
I don't think so.
Who's controlling the board?
Yep.
Yo. Jay, where'd you go? We lost you, bro.
I know. I got disconnected about 2 minutes ago, and I've been trying to call. I've been sending you text messages to click over.
It's so weird. Yeah, you were like gone, and then I looked at the board. And I had to bring you back on.
Yeah, no, I don't know what happened. Just literally booted me off. But, you were saying about the disgusting food?
Oh, yeah. Oh, you would have been totally... Jay eats healthy. Jay's very health conscious. Jay's in good shape. Tony and I, not so much. It was like...
Just so we're straight here.
Are you going to try to tell me that you're some kind of... Oh, yeah, sure, dude. You're eating, like, fucking bean curd. Get the fuck out of here, dude.
Honestly, guys, you're too right. Listen, let me tell you something.
I have not lost another 9 pounds on the road.
So what do you say? You hang around me? Fuck out of here.
No, let me tell you guys something.
No, you don't let me eat.
You know, you can't knock yourself.
I got to go get another one. It's fucking amazing.
You can't knock yourself and say you're not in shape. You are in shape. Round is a shape. So don't knock yourself.
Hey, when you got a tool like mine, Jay, you build a fucking shed over it.
I love you. I fucking love these guys. Oh, shit.
Listen, I don't leave my tool out to get wet in the rain, but I will fucking stop it in a hole every now and then.
Oh, really quick, guys. Really quick, I want to tell you guys something. This is what I heard, and this is what I looked into. Did you hear about this new movie Arnold Schwarzenegger's making called
Maggie,
the zombie film?
Yes. Yes.
Zombie film with Abigail Breslin has what's her name? Jolie Richardson, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and Schwarzenegger. It's funny. You got Brad Pitt. Made a big budget zombie film that sucked balls, and it's like all these actors, you know, are trying to jump on the fucking zombie bandwagon, which films have been hot for the past 10, 12 years. But he's making this big budget.
I Am Legend. the movie with Will Smith, yeah. Legend. Was it called I Am Legend? What the hell was the one with
I Am Legend, which is the remake of Omega Man with Charlton Heston, and that was better than I Am Legend.
Which is a remake of I Am Legend with you know, Vincent Price from many, many years ago. But
no, Last Man on Earth,
but it was based on the
Earth,
book, I Am Legend.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Correct.
So
that's correct.
Arnold Schwarzenegger was supposed to play that part, but then he became governor. And then the movie got put on hiatus. Yes, yeah. Yeah, Schwarzenegger himself was supposed to play that part, and then it went on hiatus, and then Will Smith wound up getting cast, or maybe even became the producer of it. I don't remember. But I remember following that for quite a while, because I was really,
that
at that time, I was hoping for a big-budget zombie film, because I thought it would really reinvent the genre, which it has. I don't know for the better, but it definitely is reinvigorated the genre.
Well, you know what I look at it, too, is like, for people out there who don't know, I'm a huge Charlton Heston fan. And, you know, it's funny because the day he died, and I'm getting a little personal, the day he died was the same day I found out, you know, my ex-wife was having an affair, you know, affair on me. And I remember I was more sad about Charlton Heston dying than I was about
my ex-wife
having an affair. But to make a long story short, Heston...
Now, how would you have felt if your ex-wife was having an affair with Charlton Heston?
I would have been thrilled. If that motherfucker was alive, I would have been thrilled. I would have had no problems. Because Charlton Heston, that is a real man's man, NRA president, the guy, he was the shit. And he made this movie back in the early 70s called Omega Man, which, like Ed said, Last Man on Earth, Vincent Price played. It was a remake of that. Excellent movie. And Anthony Zorba played the lead zombie in Omega Man. And then when they were talking about having this movie made, I Am Legend, it would have been great. Absolutely, I think it would have been better if we had Schwarzenegger. A lot of people didn't like it when it came out. I didn't think it was the best. I liked the original one much better. But I did give it, you know, I gave it a 5.5, 6 because, you know, it wasn't that
awful.
It was because the
digital effects were distracting in that film. It was so distracting. Digital is such crap. Until it's good enough where it can actually fool the naked eye, no matter how great it is, it's still crap. When I look at it, I still see a digital cartoon.
I agree.
Like, even I love the Walking Dead TV show, but everything on that show is digital. Every time they do, like, a zombie kill or stab somebody in the head, and I'm not saying I'm the world's greatest filmmaker, I'm anything but I am Joe Public who watches the show. And every time you see Daryl stab somebody with his thing, it's such an obvious, even as good as it is, and that's probably the best there is out there.
It's
computer generated.
I'm gonna touch on this, and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. When they were in the prison, when they still were, last season, were in the prison, and they used to go up to the fence with the crowbar and stick it through the people's heads, and that's when you can notice it the most. When they would take it, you know, just physically go right to the fence, into the person's head, come out the back of the head. You could see it. And I know what you're talking about, where CGI really took over The Walking Dead, you know. But it's still... You know, with the kill shots, yes. All right, but still with the makeup, I think their makeup is fantastic. I think they did a great job.
But I hate digital effects so much that I can't stand when I watch Star Wars episodes 1 through 3. Because it seems like 80% of the film is digital.
No, yeah, I agree. There was nothing like it was with Lucas. If Lucas went back to basics, exactly the way he was thinking when he made Star Wars, you know, and the other three, if he did like that, it would have been a great 6-piece story. Now he's doing a 7th one, and there were people discussing it. Well, I know if there's anything using the title, and they have. He sold it.
I'm sure he's involved, but he sold it to Disney, and it's actually J.J. Abrams is the director of it, the guy who made the new Star Trek, and of course, you know, a slew of other things. I think he was involved in Lost and a bunch of other shows.
No, you know, I can't imagine it. I could imagine him selling the franchise with percentage on his end. Like, he could sell it, but he'll always get a percentage. Because I can't see him selling it and not getting anything. You know,
I don't know what his deal is. I'm sure he's still involved in some creative way on some kind of Star Wars board, if that was to exist. But I don't know exactly what his role is. He just got married. He got married again. So he's, like, married.
Yeah.
George Lucas is doing his thing.
You know what's funny about George Lucas? I was just on yesterday. Last night I was checking on, you know, the top 50 billionaires in the world, and I'm always looking for my name. And I come across George Lucas. He's worth $6.7 billion.
Wow.
And you want to ready for this? Mark Zuckerberg, the guy who does Facebook, the kid, he's worth $36 billion. And the Mayor Bloomberg is worth $34
billion. Wow.
Dude, what the fuck? And Mark Zuckerberg, the guy who invented Facebook, he's only like, what, 30 years old? $36 billion.
Hey, Truth.
Yo.
What would you do if you had $36 billion?
Get a bunch of fucking strippers and have fun.
Yeah, if Tony got his hands on $36 billion, there wouldn't be enough booze, cocaine, or naked women on the East Coast.
No, every stripper would be a millionaire.
Hey, you ain't even got to give me $36 billion. Just give me like a million. There won't be enough fucking coke on the earth.
Well, don't forget us, Truth, because you know what? As our old friend Ron would say, you can't do all the coke.
That's true. Ron does say that.
Hey, I can try like hell.
Shit. And by the way, just to clarify for everybody in the audience, I've never ever done an illegal drug in my life.
No. This is all just in banter. No one does drugs here.
But I'm not going to lie. If I was a billionaire, I might dabble.
If I was a billionaire...
Wait, Jay, don't speak on behalf of all of us, because I'm a pot-smoking
motherfucker. I can speak for me. All right, so this is that point in the show. While everyone's listening, I got to do a couple plugs, gentlemen. You guys ready for it?
Ready.
Welcome.
Okay. Horror Happens Radio Show. Saturday, September 23rd, is going to be hosting a dirty, gritty New York grindhouse experience at the Washington Theater. They're going to show three New York shot films. Survive, by my good buddy Liam Macrogiannis, son of Evan Macrogiannis. Those are the guys who made The Super and Turnpike Killer and a couple other really good flicks. So we got that, and that's going to be screened. And they're also going to be showing Blessed Are the Poor by my new buddy, Justin Morales. I met him at a Grindhouse movie night about a year ago. Real nice kid. I saw this film. It was pretty good. And they're going to be screening Evan Macrogiannis and Brian Weaver's The Super. And, you know, The Super was the one about the returned war guy, and he became the super in the apartment building in New York. And I just got to say, this is definitely something that if I'm available, I want to go check out. It's called the Dirty Gritty New York Grindhouse Washington Theater event, hosted by Horror Happens Radio Show and our good buddy Jay Horror Happens K. Much like the show he did this past weekend that I'm waiting to hear Baron report on. And that's definitely one that's going to be checked out. So check it out, Horror Happens Radio Show. And you can actually see this posted on the Jersey Horror Scene Facebook page. So check that out. October 26th, Your Friends and Mine, Tony. Matter of fact, I went over to go see Mike the other day. October 26th, The Underground in Smithville, New Jersey presents the Smithville Zombie Walk. There's going to be music, vendors, prizes, a Mist Underground zombie pinup pageant, and if you read their Facebook, it looks like it's going to be really cool. It's going to be women. If somebody wants to go dressed in drag, they can. They're looking for a Mist Underground zombie pinup. So, Truth, you going to have anything to do with that?
I'm trying to work out this thing right now. You know, wrestling and some clowns. Let's see how it goes.
Okay.
You're kind of privileged to the information already. I'm trying to work it out. But my biggest thing is going in drag. So what the hell are you going to wear, Armageddon, Ed?
I don't know. I've never worn drag before, but I've been told by women that I have great facial features. Maybe it's my calling. Maybe I should check it out.
You are so fucking handsome, Ed. You are fucking handsome.
Thank you.
I just
want to
know, do they make pumps in your size?
Probably not. I've never said. You know what it is? Yeah, I'm a lot of man. And a lot of man. But you know what? I'm not going to lie. I've done the Miss America beauty pageant. I've actually worked that event in my other life outside of the filmmaking thing. And I got to tell you, a lot of those drag guys are big dudes. They're not little dudes. They're like big, bulky men. So if they could wear it, I'm sure I could do it. I'm not saying necessarily it's my calling, but I'd probably get away with it.
So my next question then is, are you just going to wear regular pumps, flats, or fuck me pumps?
I don't know.
Ed, you would be the tallest fucking drag queen if you wore the fucking 8-inch stilettos.
How I'm going to have to roll.
I would have to be there as your date.
All right,
I would fucking love to see that.
You know,
for those of you
who
don't know, Ed McKeever is like 6'5". He's fucking a giant.
I'm not committed to it yet.
Hey, Jay, you know what would be funny as shit? You ever seen Madea?
Yeah.
You ever seen Madea? McKeever.
I've never seen Madea. I'm going to have to check this out, see where you're going with this. All right, so we got some more things here. We got, it looks like Fear Factory NJ over in Mays Landing, New Jersey, is going to be reopening on October 3rd. They were nice enough to have The Truth and I and Jay and everybody there during the first Bizarre AC. They gave us a little tour of their establishment. Matter of fact, everyone made it out to that one. We actually had Dave and Ryan and Kevin and everybody that came out to the first Bizarre AC, really good stuff. Rude Ron was out there with us, and we got the special treatment. They took us around, showed us. That's a haunt that's right behind the mall in Mays Landing, New Jersey. Opens October 3rd, but they're looking for actors, FX people, ticket takers, and they're doing applications from 4 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. on September 4th. And that's in Mays Landing, New Jersey, just outside of Atlantic City. Lastly,
that's great.
For our plugs, David Madison's Weekend of Fear 2. David Madison, your friend and mine, former colleague of ours on B-Movies Radio, had his own show, David Madison's Into the Night or End of the Night broadcast, and he's doing his Weekend of Fear 2. That's going to be at the Woodlands End, Wilkes-Barre, PA, September 5th, 6th, and 7th. Find out more at MrHush.net. But I will tell you, it has an outstanding guest list. Your friend and mine, Gene Snitsky, is going to be there. It's going to have, who's the other, their other wrestler that was a Bizarre AC with us? Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Yeah, the Boogeyman's going to be there. I think it was Tito Santana's going to be there.
Isn't Brutus the Barber Beefcake going too?
I don't believe he is.
Yes,
yeah,
he is.
I'm pretty sure
I'm
he is.
Guess what?
Yeah, he
hang
is.
On. Let
he
me
is
see. Going. I'm going to pull up. I'm going to pull up the web page, and I'm going to know because I don't want to say for sure if I'm not positive.
Well, you're pulling that out. I'd like to give a quick shout out. Just one. I'll do more later. But I want to give a quick shout out to a good friend of mine, Heidi Keller. She's the owner, operator of East Coast Ink and Body Piercing. She's out over at 257 Main Street in Kingsburg, New Jersey. Give a call. They always have they're incredible over there. Everything they do. My Walking Dead crew, Joel and Kate, go to her for their tattoos, and she's incredible. So East Coast Ink, Body and Piercing. Give a call at 732-769-5518, and they're located at 257 Main Street, Kingsburg. Just tell them Walking Dead Film sent you.
I was just in Kingsburg last week. I have to say, bro, I love me some Kingsburg. And you know what I love in Kingsburg? I love that place, Hollow Graves Haunted Manor. I actually took my son through. He's very young. I took him for his first haunted walkthrough, and he loved it. Absolutely loved it.
Where is that?
It's right on the, well, obviously, Kingsburg doesn't have a boardwalk. It's more like a parking lot that people think is a boardwalk. But, yeah, it's right there. It's the one that used to be over in Seaside, and they got it out just before the fire took that pier out after Sandy.
I never even knew there was a haunted anything over there.
Yeah, dude, it's actually pretty good. It's an effective one. It's one of those ones they created back during the 60s. You know, a lot like Still Walk Manor.
Yeah, I
well,
love
yeah,
that
but
shit.
Like, well, yeah, it's not one that you ride through. There's no log flume. There's no little train that takes you around. It's the kind that you physically walk through, and then, like, the guy always seems to pop out a door ahead of you, you know?
Sure.
One of those deals. Yeah, but very cool haunt. Definitely worth checking out. I know Tony and the guys at the horror scene, for some reason, like, they, like, keep plastering the picture of me standing in front of it all over the webpage. So it's definitely worth checking out. The guy that runs it or owns it, real nice guy. And so check it out. Hollow Graves Haunted Manor in Keensburg, New Jersey. Since we're all pro Keensburg, just go to Keensburg. I got to tell you, we all know James Gandolfini's dead. We know he was a Jersey actor, the star of The Sopranos. Just recently, I caught this movie. I know it's not horror, where he owned, like, this amusement park. And it was kind of cool. It was obviously shot in Keensburg. You saw him, like, controlling all the little rides and everything. They must have shot it off-season because when they were talking, you'd see, like, the breath, that fact that it was cold out in their breath. And definitely cool place. I forget the name of the film, but I'd actually recommend it. It was pretty good. It must have been one of James Gandolfini's last films.
Oh, really?
Very small indie picture. I saw it pop up on, like, Encore or something.
Hey, guys.
So, any more shout-outs, fellas?
Yeah, guys, well, I'm going to have to say goodnight. I got to go. I'm at my destination here. I got to go deal with some asshole client, so good luck, and I'll talk to you guys next Wednesday.
All right, brother, be safe. So, signing out, we got Tony the Truth of the Horror Scene. Shame his cohorts, Rude Ron and Brian Enright and Dave Stone couldn't call in this evening, but there's always next week, and we still got a little time left on the broadcast. So tell me what you think about this there, Big Daddy J. Here's the guest list for Weekend of Fear Part 2, which will be coming up in the Woodlands Inn in Wilkes-Barre, PA.
All right.
Brian O'Halloran. Pretty good. As we know, we met Brian O'Halloran at the Czar AC in Atlantic City. Very nice guy. Jason Voorhees himself, Kane Hodder, will also be there.
Oh, yeah.
Probably the most recognizable Jason of the franchise.
Yeah.
Special effects makeup guru, Mr. Tom Savini. You saw him in Dusk Till Dawn. He did the makeup for a lot of the Friday the 13th films. He's in a ton of movies. So you got Tom Savini. Then you got Ming Chen from the comic book man.
Oh, yeah, we're in a movie with him.
Yeah, that's right. And Jay Kerner and I, my partner on the phone here, we are. And Josh Bruce's, son of Rob Bruce, made the film Burn in Hell. And Jason plays, I think, a bully who bullies me, and I play some preacher.
Yeah.
And we're in that with our buddy Anthony Curry. Fuck Anthony Curry.
Fuck Anthony Curry.
Bro, I know we're getting old because I saw a picture of filmmaker Anthony Curry, our buddy, on Facebook.
And he's
driving
a car
now. He's with women and driving a car now. Yeah. So he's not like that fucking 12-year-old kid that used to pal around with us to all the horror conventions. He's like a grown-ass man now.
I know. Isn't that fucking crazy?
It is, man. We're getting old, brother. All right, so we got Ming Chen. We got from Lionheart, Harrison Page. He was also in Sledgehammer. He was the black guy, always seemed to play like a cop or something. I think in Lionheart, he was like that the hustler guy who talked Van Damme into fighting in the underground fight circuit. This is his first ever convention appearance.
The black man? Is that the black
man? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's great. I liked him.
Yeah, he's good. We got Stephen Jeffries from Fright Night. He's going to be there. We met him at Czar AC also, as we all know. I think he was also in 976 Evil. Then we got Fred the Hammer Williamson, also from Dusk Till Dawn, Starsky and Hutch. He was in MASH. I think he was a pro football player, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, he was.
We got Brad Larray, who was the Michael Myers from Halloween Resurrection. So he's actually the one who killed Jamie Lee Curtis and threw her off the, well, I don't want to ruin it for anybody, but he stabbed her and threw her out the window of the house. Then we got Rob Bruce. You know, he's from Comic Book Men, also in Burn in Hell with us, father of Josh Bruce. In his last convention appearance ever, Steve Dash.
Who?
Yeah, you
really?
See him in Mr. Hush, and he was also Jason in Friday the 13th Part 3. Most recognizable as the Jason that wore the burlap sack. The first adult Jason, actually. So,
wow, that's really
and
funny.
And truthfully, he was on David Madison's show a while back, and I co-hosted it with David Madison. And he called in, and I told him he was probably the scariest, most effective Jason because he was still very human. So his rendition of Jason definitely scared the shit out of me. And I also remember seeing it when I was about five or six, maybe. It was on late night TV, and I saw it, and you know, kind of fucked me up, truthfully. And we got Tito Santana, WWE Hall of Famer. I know he was also a tag team or Intercontinental Champion. Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Gene Snitsky, part of the Walking Dead films family, the Boogeyman, and then the rest of the Clerks cast, Marilyn Gigliotti, Scott Schiaffo, and our brother, Mr. Ernie O'Donnell. That's a hell of a guest list. Not to mention, there's still a lot of other Friday the 13th people. There's still some people from Dark Shadows that are going to be there. The porn star, she was a bizarre. You see Jasmine St. Clair. I think she doesn't like being referred to as a porn star anymore, but, you know. Ed Rex Young, who's in The Green Monster, Mr. Hush, and Sea of Dust.
Yep.
We got the Reinforcer, Andrew Anderson. You saw him in the movie The Wrestler. He also does that Skittles commercial.
Yeah.
Genevieve Rossi, New Jersey Scream Queen, and lots of others. So it's definitely going to be a really, really interesting event, and not to mention the main man, David Madison himself.
Sure.
So, yeah. That's very cool, man. Very, very cool.
Sounds very exciting.
Yeah, man. So what else
That's
we got
nice
tonight,
lineup.
Brother? It's a great lineup. Phenomenal
great lineup.
Lineup.
Man. Yeah, it is. Not much, man. I was tell me what movies, besides the movie you went with Tony, but what other movies did you hear about coming up or even possibly see? I know you've been extremely busy.
Hey,
but
you know what I saw? You know what I saw? It was actually a movie we were in competition with when we pretty much swept the first Horror Society Awards. Remember when all our movies were in Horror Society Awards and we pretty much just dusted everybody? Pretty much we won every category we're in except for Scream King, Armageddon Ed. I lost to... Who did I lose to? Malcolm McDowell, I wound up losing to. But anyway, neither here nor there.
Not a bad loss.
Our film, no, not at all, not at all. Our film was up against, for most anticipated, Manhunt, which it's still most anticipated almost 2 years later, but it was up against a film called You're Next. Have you ever seen You're Next, bro?
I think I did, but can you tell me about it just so I know?
Okay.
Make sure. All
right, so this girl goes out, right? And I'm going to pull up the IMDb because I'm going to go through some names and stuff for it, too. She goes with her boyfriend to go visit her family. And the family had this big estate. I would imagine probably somewhere like New England. It has like that New England aristocratic type feel to it. And they go there, and the whole family's there. Like his brothers, his sisters, his mother, his father. And they're going to have a nice dinner, all hang out at this big mansion of a house. And then all of a sudden, a dude with a crossbow shows up and starts killing them all.
Come on.
Yeah.
I did see it. They're shooting through the house. They're outside. What a twist at the end. Yes.
Yeah, dude. And they're all wearing, like, the crazy, like, animal masks. And you know, not for nothing. That's a fucking awesome flick.
Yeah, that was an incredible flick. I got to tell you, that was a good flick. Didn't expect the ending. Did not expect the ending to go the way it did.
Yeah. I don't want to turn... I don't really want to give too much of it away, except for the fact it's got really good kills. Has a couple good-looking broads, and I saw it on Netflix. Had a couple good-looking girls in it. And overall, a very creepy, effective film. And here's what
it says. Yeah, I agree.
When the Davison family comes under attack during their wedding anniversary getaway, the gang of mysterious killers soon learn that one of the victims harbors a secret talent for fighting back. The chick is kick-ass in it.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about fight or flight. She's a badass.
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 Oh yeah.
And,
badass.
Yeah, you know, her boyfriend's a pussy, and
yep.
The family members don't stand a chance because they're all pussies. But
well,
all right, so let's see. I think it was Ty West that directed this film. No. Director Fede Alvarez. If I'm not mistaken, isn't that the same guy who did the new Evil Dead? I'm gonna have to check. No.
What's
it's
his
a,
name again?
No, it says direct. No, no, I'm wrong. It says director Adam Wingard. Oh no, that is Evil Dead. Sorry, I was looking at the wrong thing. All right, so director is Adam Wingard. Writer Simon Barrett. Stars Sharni Benson, Joe Swanberg, AJ Bowen, and a couple other. Won some awards. 16 wins and 11 nominations. Let's see what this won. IMDb is probably the most awesome thing ever. And while you're on IMDb, take a look at Ed McKeever. Ed McKeever won, not two. Two is an Olympic rower for England, won a lot of gold medals.
Yeah.
Don't mean shit. Go to one. Go to Ed McKeever 1 and check it out. That's McKeever. Get me up. I've been as high as most 30,000, most popular, and now I think I'm somewhere like around 240,000. So anyway, all right, so it won Best Horror Actress, Austin Fantastic Fest. It won Best Film, Austin Fantastic Fest. Won Best Director, Austin Fantastic Fest. Best Screenplay,
wow.
Best Film Audience Award. The
yeah.
Empire Awards, it won Best Hire. The Fangora Chainsaw Awards, it won Best Screenplay. Came in second place for Best Actress, Best Score. Third place, Best Wide Release, and Best Supporting Actress. See, I don't remember it being in Wide Release. The Fight Meter Award, it was Best Horror Movie, Best Actress. Golden Trailer Award, Best Horror Poster, Best Thriller Poster, Most Original Poster. Best music. Anyway, it's boring. It won a lot of awards. The Chicken, It Kicks Ass. Just an overall really good film. I don't think I'm going to reach out to this director just to tell him. I'll reach out to him on Twitter or something and say, hey, man, I saw your movie and it kicked ass. Because I do that from time to time. Is that weird? Is that weird to do that, you think?
No, I don't think it's weird at all.
Do you think it like looks
not
like I'm craving attention? Like I'm trying to like piggyback off people's fame and the fact that they actually, you know, have a movie that's out there and in the public eye, you think they appreciate that, or you think they're like, oh, who's this asshole?
No, I think they appreciate it.
Right.
I don't think they.
Well, then Adam Wingard, if you have a Twitter account and you see Armageddon Ed tweeting you saying he enjoyed your film, well, then you're going to know what's up, because that's the case.
Oh, yeah, man.
All right, so that's my pick. What else you seen? What else you got? What else you got for
oh,
me?
Oh, God.
What are you hitting me with?
What was that movie? You know,
did
I
say that Jersey Shore Massacre has a lot of hot chicks in it and there's a lot of boobies?
You mentioned it. You're
too
in depth, but you mentioned it.
Chock full of boobies. But go ahead. Anyway, I digress. Go ahead.
No. There was another one. And, oh, Christ. What movie was that? I wanted to talk about it. Let me see. You know what? I wanted to talk about it last week, but didn't. So let me pull up some notes here. Just give me a second. And
okay.
What this other movie was. Let me see. All right. At the Devil's Door we talked about.
Yes.
Oh, shit. Really? You know what? I guess not. I guess, you know, it's just those few, the Damned, Battle of the Damned, and... was it Raze, Roz?
Yeah.
That
Raze.
Was, you know, Raze. Yeah, that's one that definitely everybody should go, you know, watch it if it comes on TV, watch it if it's at Redbox. Just watch it. You want to be, you're not going to look at it saying that this is not suspenseful, or you're not going to look at it and say, man, this is boring. It's action literally from beginning to end. Non-stop.
Okay, so I'm definitely going to check out this Raze. One, because that Rachel Nichols chicks is really gorgeous.
I know.
And two, I enjoyed the other movie she's in. She's in that P2 movie, that one where that crazy Wes Bentley, I think it's Wes Bentley, like chases around the parking garage on like Christmas Eve for like 10 hours. And she's in the Amityville Horror. She plays the babysitter.
Spell her?
Yeah, that's
oh,
her.
Oh, my God. I didn't know that.
Oh, I'm almost positive. Yeah, I'm almost positive that's her. I'm going to check. She's also in, like, the original G.I. Joe. Rachel Nichols, I said, right?
Yeah, that's what you said.
Yeah, that's her. Gorgeous. Just gorgeous. All right. So
that's
model
funny.
And actress Rachel Nichols was born in Augusta, Maine. Okay. I'm almost positive she was in the Friday the 3rd. What did I just say? Amityville Horror, the remake.
Yeah, she was the babysitter.
She played Lisa.
Yeah.
She's the one that's like, oh, I'm such a bad babysitter, and then gets locked in the closet.
Yep.
What did you think of the Amityville Horror remakes? You know they're making it now another one.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, a lot of people didn't like it. I liked it a lot. I really did. I liked
it.
You did? I did like
it.
I had no problems with it.
I think it just moves so far away from the actual storyline, like the line, you know, we were all, you know, I read the book, the Jay Anson book, and I saw the original, obviously the original movie, especially filmed right here in Jersey. What a masterpiece that original film is. Granted, it's got its slow parts.
Brolin.
Dude, I'm telling you, it's a damn shame that I work the job that I do, because you don't even know the awesome stories I could tell, because I've actually met James Brolin. And actually had the opportunity to talk with him, but I can't really talk about my business life as opposed to my movie life.
Sure.
But,
sure.
You know, just what an awesome film that was. I think I saw that movie when I was about 7 years old, I guess. It was on,
oh, really?
I think I saw it on, like, WPIX Channel 11, like, late night. Come on, you're a North Jersey guy. Remember the old late night WPIX Channel 11 movies?
Yep.
Yeah.
I remember I was probably about the same, around the same age when I saw that too. And, you know, James Brolin, Josh Brolin's father, was absolutely incredible in the movie. I thought it was great.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, the movie, the original does suffer from some slow parts. There are some slow parts of the film, and I think there were parts of the book that weren't adapted properly. Like, if you read the book, you got what they were going for, but they didn't explain it well in the film. Like, she would stop and she would smell the perfume. So if you read the book, you'd know that. And obviously, I didn't read the book when I was 7 or 8 years old when I first saw it, but then I hadn't watched the movie for like another 7 or 8 years, and in the interim, I'd read the book. So I knew the whole thing when she looked in the mirror and she saw herself as the old woman. Like, I got all the plot points that they had from the book, but I don't think they really translated well in the film because they didn't explain them. But I definitely, you know, the original movie's great. The second one had merit. But one thing is, Ryan Reynolds is, I don't think he has the acting chops of a James Brolin. That's just me. And
you can't compare the two. They're totally different actors. And
Ryan
Reynolds, you know, you put him in a comedy, he's going to bury James Brolin. But more dramatic actor, James Brolin. But
want to say that Ryan Reynolds is like a pretty boy, because James Brolin truthfully was a pretty boy too. I mean, he almost played James Bond. There's actually a trailer out there. There's a trailer, because I think he was supposed to star in the movie just after or just before. Anyway, there's a trailer out there with him as James Bond that never actually got put through.
What, 1960s James Bond? Like the first James Bond?
He was
going to
play James Bond in the late 70s, early 80s.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm not bullshitting here. I saw it somewhere. It was actually on like a DVD saw it on. Yeah, he was supposed to play like James Bond, but for some reason they wound up not selecting an American actor. But, yeah, I mean, he was a pretty boy, too. Yeah, English. But like the whole, I mean, like, let's see, Ryan Reynolds is all muscled out. He's got the six pack. He's like flexing, you know. I don't know. I think he was kind of distracting. I love Ryan Reynolds. I think he's a phenomenal actor. And that girl that was in it, she was gorgeous. What was her name?
Melissa George.
Melissa George. Yes. She was gorgeous. But once again, I think she was so gorgeous that she was kind of almost distracting from the story, whereas Margot Kidder wasn't an ugly girl, but she wasn't like drop dead gorgeous either.
No, not at all.
Yeah. So I mean, overall, I'm gonna say, I forgot that Chloe Grace Moretz was in that too. I think
Chloe
she played a little
Grace.
Yeah. Yeah, she was the daughter.
In what one?
In the Amityville Horror remake.
Oh, she was. Yeah, she was. She was very young. She's probably about six. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm looking at it now. I know. Well, you didn't get a chance to go out there with us. I went to the actual Amityville Horror House when we were up, and we were guests at Macabre Fair a couple summers back.
Okay.
Up in Long Island. So I took Ryan and Kevin up with me, and we had to go and check it out. And I had been there when I was in high school, you know. Anyway, that's a long story. My cousin wound up bringing an old 8mm camera that my mother had, and she actually walked in the front door of the house on Sunday, probably around 1991. I didn't, you know, but my cousin, she walked right up, and the dude came out and chased us. And I remember, I screamed, "Oh yeah! Come on, dude! It's Easter Sunday. He's eating with his family, and you got two, 13-year-old kids bopping in bopping in the front vestibule of your house with an old 8mm camera."
That's pretty hilarious.
I'm gonna find it sometime and show it to you. It is pretty late. The guy chased us for two solid blocks.
My mother
was scared. She took off in her car. Yeah, and we had run down and around the corner, jump in the car, and drive away. Yeah, it's a true story. It's a true story. Yeah. Don't bring the white trash from Jersey out to Long Island. Yeah, it happened.
Oh,
it was real. Yeah, it was real. Because I'm pretty sure a statute of limitations are up on that. And I didn't go in the guy's house, but no, he did. He chased. He probably caught us. He probably whooped his ass too. Whooped our ass too. But it's kind of funny because I remember my cousin yelling. She's a female. She's a little older than me. And she was screaming, it's the devil. The devil's chasing us.
No.
Yeah, because
that is freaking hilarious.
Yeah, dude. Well, we thought the house was abandoned and stuff. Because who would think anybody would live there? Because we're thinking it's the movie, you know?
Sure.
If I could take one thing back, I would take that back in life. Because the last thing in the world those poor people needed living in that house was just some other asshole messing up their Easter dinner. So if anybody's listening or knows the family that lived in that house, you know, and they talk about the two kids that they chased. Yeah, call. Even better,
call. 347-357-3667. Call now, and let's reminisce.
Yeah, if you're the guy who chased me out of your house when I was 13 years old, the actual Amityville Horror House in Amityville, New York, give us a call, 347-857-3667. And if you want to give me an ass whooping, I'll take it, because I kind of deserve it. So,
that's freaking hilarious.
The original, still one of my favorites. The remake, a solid film, not going to lie. I ran out and bought the DVD the day it came out. But just definitely not as good as the original. But better than any of the sequels.
Yes.
Maybe other than part two. Part two was okay, but I really didn't like the whole incestuous storyline where the brother was banging the sister, even though the sister was hot, young Diane Franklin. Burt Ward was this maniacal father, and it was supposed to be kind of a prequel, and I don't know. And the third one with the 3D and had Lori Loughlin in it, and after that, they were all garbage.
Yeah. I know they were. And the first, it's very rare where you have sequels to match the first one. It really is. It's a rarity.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it was, I liked it. Like I said, I liked it. A lot of people have the same views, as you have. You know, it wasn't their thing, man. Just wasn't their thing. They didn't like Ryan Reynolds playing it, and it was good. You know, I liked it.
Yeah.
But like I said, you know, it's not going to win any awards by any means whatsoever, but it was entertaining nevertheless.
Yeah.
You know
what's funny, though? Have you seen the newest Amityville Horror one? The found footage Amityville Horror movie that was out, the Amityville Tapes?
No.
It came out about a year ago? Oh, yeah, dude, horrible.
I never even heard of this.
Yeah, I mean, not even horrible in the respect that, because I'm not one to, being a filmmaker also, if I can call myself that. Some people, trust me, some people wouldn't. But being a fellow filmmaker, it's not fair for me to, you know, say anything bad about people's films. But I do just want to say, if the movie was a standalone film, it would be one thing. But due to the fact that it's an Amityville film in name, I think you really kind of got to step your game up a little bit if you're going to do that.
I think you're right.
I watched
I agree
with you. I can't even find it. I'm pretty sure it was called the Amityville Tapes.
The Amityville
By
Tapes?
By the way, there's an... Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, that's what I thought it was. So it's on Netflix. Amityville Awakening, Amityville Horror. Oh, wait, maybe it's this one? Wait, no, it's this one. It's called The Amityville Haunting.
Amityville Haunting.
But it is.
And,
yeah.
Who's in it? Who's in it? Any names? Like?
Oh, nobody. No, really, nobody would know. It got a 2.7 viewer rating. You see, that's another thing, too. It was kind of crazy because, you know, Ronald. One of the characters in the film is Ronald DeFeo Jr., who is the actual killer. Of the actual story, the Amityville Horror, like, you know, the actual true crime. And in this, he's a ghost. So right there, you're like, it's totally not even plausible. The house doesn't look like the house from Amityville. It starts off with, like, them moving in, and then, like, all of a sudden, some kid comes over. He's like, oh, yeah, your house is that one that, like, all the people were murdered in. How do you not know you move into the Amityville Horror house? Even if you are, like, a 15-year-old kid, I don't get it. I don't know how you couldn't know. I don't think anyone's that removed, you know, from society to know that. So here's the storyline. This movie is a found footage film about the Benson family who moved into the infamous house where the DeFeo family were murdered in the 70s, over 30 years earlier. Things start happening to anyone who visits this house and whoever lives there. This is the footage retrieved from their camera.
Really?
The tagline is... Yeah, the tagline. But once again, I mean, I don't think that the actual company that produced The Amityville Horror was behind this. Be warned, the footage is real. And the other tagline is, the family did not survive, but the recordings did. Yeah.
Interesting.
Not everything deserves the Blair Witch treatment.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, Blair Witch was, that was different.
Yeah.
Blair Witch was
different.
Well,
I told
you. You know.
I saw it in theaters at an old theater in Savannah, Georgia, when my wife and I were dating, so we're going back 16 years ago now. And we're there. And I've never seen an audience, because remember, the whole, like, viral campaign they did on the internet, people really thought this was real. And it was before that the internet was so savvy, like with Snopes and everything else, that people could look into it and go, this is bullshit. So I remember they had a really good, remember it was all over MTV? See this real footage film, it's unbelievable. And I remember I was watching, like, MTV, and it kept popping up. I was like, wow, I have to go see this found footage. What goes on? Where? And these people are missing. And do you know that even after the movie, because I saw it opening night, the whole theater was standing and reading the credits just to see if that disclaimer came on at the end saying this is an act of fiction.
Really?
The whole theater, and this is one of those old theaters. I'll never forget it. It was the one right behind the Savannah Mall. And it's an old theater, and it probably had 400 seats in the audience, and it was packed. I think they were actually showing it in two different theater rooms. That's how packed it was. So one showing at, like, 8 o'clock at night, there was, like, 800 people there to see this movie. And everyone was standing, like, standing up in their seat, and the second that they saw it was bullshit, and it said, this is an act of fiction, anybody like it is purely coincidence, all you saw was sodas getting thrown at the screen, popcorn. Shit was crazy, man.
Really?
Yeah.
That's actually kind of funny. It's funny what people think. They have something in their head on what they think something is, and when it's not, it's like it becomes Dodge City. And that's with a lot of things, you know?
Yeah. I mean, and this is Georgia where people are, like, all laid back. Hey, Bubba, ain't nothing but a thing. Everybody's, like, all, like, chilled out. No, man, when they saw that this was an act of fiction and they saw that they all just got boned for the last 2 hours – they were pissed.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Go give me some cooter.
Hey there, Bubba. I ain't leaving.
God.
You can't make me leave. I'm going to stay here and get me some cooter.
Oh, my God.
Look at the shitter on that critter.
Lambo.
I miss my days in the South. Lambo and Ricky, wherever you are. Wherever you are, Lambo, wherever you are, Ricky, you know, the best to you, my friends. Well, the word is that Lambo's dead now.
Yeah.
But old Ricky might still be out there somewhere. Old Ricky may still be out there.
Yeah.
God bless you, Ricky Lambo. For those of you who are listening at home and have no idea what I'm talking about, Lambo and Ricky are these two old hillbillies. I used to hang out with these two old hillbillies when I lived down in Georgia. They were both missing an eye. One missing a left eye, one missing a right eye. Between the two of them, they could perfectly pilot a 1987 Honda. And they would fight and argue. Damn you, Ricky! You're supposed to watch that side! And they had tunnel vision because, like, they were both always looking to the inside of the car because Ricky was missing his right eye and he was the passenger, and Lambo was missing his left eye and he was the driver, so they could pretty much never make a turn properly without taking out gardens, curbs. Those dudes were the fucking best. The best!
Dude, that's freaking... Yeah, that's pretty freaking awesome.
The best. He used to take his eyeball and go, I'm watching you, boy, and he'd leave his eye sitting on the kitchen table.
Come on. No.
No, true story. Yes, he'd be like, I'm watching you, boy, and he would. He'd put his eye on the kitchen table. And like he'd go to the bathroom or go to make a sandwich or something. There'd be his fucking glass eye sitting there looking at me.
Oh. Oh, my God. That is just disturbing.
Yeah, those old hillbillies were the shit, man. I heard Lambo passed a couple years after that, actually. And then Ricky's probably down there doing some god-awful shit. I don't know. These guys were hillbilly deluxe, man. They really were. But anyway, all the best to Ricky and Lambo. Those are my boys. So, Yeah, so come on. You got to have more horror to report on that. We're down about 28 minutes left in the House Armageddon. I'm going to check the line, see if anybody's called in. No, we don't have any calls on the line right now. But if anybody would like to call in, as always, give a shout here, give a call. We can talk horror. We can talk conspiracy theories. We can talk the paranormal. We can talk Amityville Horror. We can talk about guests, conventions, movies, whatever it is, pop culture references. Give us a call, 347-857-3667. And once again, want to give a shout-out to my main dude, Baron Craze of Baron's Crypt and the Shredding Metal Bee Show. Check him out. Go to www.thehorrorscene.com. See what the guys are putting together there. Old Dave, Brian, and Tony the Truth. And, of course, want to give a shout-out to my brother on the phone right now, Mr. Jason Kerner of Walking Dead Films, Mr. Gene Snitsky, Jay Lee, Kate Martin, Joel Ruda, Damien,
Jason Swank.
Our whole crew. Jason Swank.
Joanna
Dawn Flinderella Flynn, Joanna D.
Yep.
And everybody else that helps put together the whole, Walking Dead Films team.
Yeah, same here. And Gene Snitsky. And everybody knows Gene Snitsky from wrestling, WWE, TNA. It's TNA, right?
He had a great run. The last month on TNA, he was out there whooping ass for the owner of the company, Dixie Carter, and then she fired him unceremoniously.
You know what's funny?
So get on Twitter
Dixie...
and make sure you tweet, we want Snitsky, send it right to TNA or TNA Impact.
Do you remember Simon and Simon, that TV show?
So that was the one that came on after Magnum P.I.
Yeah.
It was Gerald McCraney and, like, the little blonde-haired brother, and they would go out and, like, solve crimes and shit. As a matter of fact, I had a crossover episode of Magnum P.I. once.
Yeah. Well, it's not that show, but there's another, the actor, shit, what's his name? Hal Holbrook. Remember Hal Holbrook?
I do. I remember he was in the original The Fog. He played the priest.
Yes. Yeah, well, his wife's name...
Mrs. Holbrook?
Her name was Dixie Carter.
Okay.
And that's her real name. And she passed away of cancer, but she was on Designing Women with Delta Burke.
I think we had this conversation. Yeah, no, it's a different Dixie Carter.
I know, it's just weird, isn't it? It's like it's not a common name like John Smith. You know, it's just weird.
Yeah.
Two famous people, both on TV with the same exact name.
Yeah.
Weird.
Well, let's see if they both have IMDb pages. Yeah.
They totally do.
And we'll see. Well, the only one that comes up is Dixie Carter, actress of Designing Women.
Yeah.
Who was the hottest chick in Designing Women, you think?
At the time, Delta Burke.
Delta Burke was
Which is the Simon & Simon brother, the guy with the mustache and balding, that brother.
Oh, Gerald McCrane's
still married
wife.
To her.
Yeah,
for years.
That's right. Well, the little redheaded chick, Annie Potts, she was kind of hot, too.
Yeah, but you know what? It's the voice. I can't. It's like, it's just annoying, you know, I want to choke her. I never really watched the show unless you're going to, you know, what are you going to do when you're 9, 10 years old? You're going to whack off. You know, there wasn't cable back then. That show's on. You just, you know, wring one out.
Dude, don't tell me you rough one out for Designing Women. Please. Go.
Delta Burke. Went 3 rounds with a bald-headed champ on her.
All right, so listen, I got to know. Did you ever have any intimate time with, what's the other one, Golden Girls?
No. You know, no. Hold on. Whoa. I just threw up in my mouth a little bit. Okay.
Oh, Lord.
I remember when I used to watch Buck Rogers. Huh? You know where I'm going,
Aaron
right?
Gray. Was it Erin Gray, right?
Yep, Erin Gray. That's
her
right.
Name was I think I met her at like a convention a couple of years ago. She was still kind of like hot. She's got to be 60-something years old.
Yeah, her and Lindsay Wagner.
Remember when she was on Silver Spoons?
Oh, my God.
You have to remember the TV show Silver Spoons.
With Ricky
Schroeder.
She played
like the rich guy's girl.
His father was a millionaire. Ricky Schroeder.
Yeah, Rick,
like
don't call me Ricky Schroeder.
Yeah.
She's still making movies. She's in a movie
Ricky
this
Schroeder?
Year.
Oh, she is.
Well, yeah, I'm sure he's still making movies. Erin Gray. She's born in 1950, so she's not all that old.
You know who took a real bad turn for the worse when it came to looks? Oh my God, I gotta look it up now. Her name, Sally Kirkland. I think her name
Sally
is.
Kirkland. Okay.
Blonde
Sally
hair.
Struthers.
No, both of them. Sally Struthers is no excuse. I don't know what happened to her. What the hell happened? She does All in the Family. She looks like the way she does. Okay, they get canceled, and then you see her saving kids in Africa, 400 or 500 pounds. All the food that fucking came in that our parents sent out to Africa to help these fucking Ethiopian motherfuckers, she ate. What the fuck? No wonder it's funny. She's eating a corn muffin, dipping it into a vat of Nutella, and eating and talking. She's like, please send your food, your donations, 19 cents a day could save a child, and she can't even get a whole cent out because she's choking on a whole hamburger.
Wait, she was just dipping a corn muffin in Nutella?
Yeah, she was dipping her corn muffin in Nutella, and when she, you know, there's a woman, you know, when she fucking shits, she shits out whole hamburgers with no teeth marks in them. Unbelievable.
Oh,
she tosses them like Tic Tacs.
We've definitely taken a bad turn.
Yeah,
so
but you
know,
you know what? Go ahead.
Well, here's a list of the sexiest stars of the 70s, according to IMDb. And I'm intrigued because the picture that they show at number one is Linda Carter. And you know what?
Oh, my God.
I have to agree with that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wait,
yes.
There's a couple good ones on here, bro. Catherine Bach.
Oh, my, yes.
Daisy Duke herself, Jacqueline Smith. Who, by the way,
yes.
Jacqueline Smith was way hotter than Farrah Fawcett. Farrah Fawcett got all the attention. Jacqueline Smith was twice as hot as Farrah Fawcett.
Rachel Ward.
Rachel Ward was hot, but I think she's more of an 80s actress.
Yeah, what was the girl on that movie called Caveman with Ringo Starr? What was her name? Holy shit.
Caveman.
With Ringo Starr, the comedy, Dennis Quaid, Shelley Long, Ringo Starr, they're cavemen back in caveman days, and John Matusak from the Raiders, God rest his soul, he played like the alpha male in the cave, and his wife, Lana, I don't know who she was. Look up caveman if you have the facility to do so.
Yeah.
And let
I
me
was
know her name.
Let me just run through the hot chick list of the 70s, because I have to agree, there's some serious hot broads here. Jacqueline Smith. Susan Anton,
sure.
Aaron Gray.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Farrah Fawcett, Carrie
yeah.
Fisher, Adrian Barbeau, Jacqueline Bisset. Remember Valerie Perrin?
Yes.
Remember she was the star, she was in Superman, yep. She played Lex Luthor's girlfriend, and she was in that movie?
Yeah.
She was hot. Jane Seymour. Sally Field was kind of hot, too, back in the day.
Suzanne Summers, too, yeah.
Yeah. And Olivia Newton-John.
Yes.
Barbara Bach. Britt Eklund. Bo Derek. Jill St. John.
Eklund.
Oh, Jill St. John. When she was in, was it Diamonds Are Forever? She was in that James Bond film. Unbelievable.
Oh, God.
Cheryl Ladd is the sexiest woman who ever lived. All
she
time
still is.
In history, Cheryl Ladd, the ultimate replacement girl in Charlie's Angels. Barbie Benton, Diane Cannon, I don't
yeah.
really get the Diane Cannon. Angie Dickinson, I don't really get. Lonnie Anderson, Joanna Cameron, I don't even know who that is, but there's no picture of her. Pamela Hensley, Maren Jensen, Valerie Bertinelli. I do have to agree with Valerie Bertinelli. Lindsay
oh,
Wagner,
yeah.
a personal Big Daddy J choice.
Yep.
Judy Landers and Audrey Landers.
Audrey
and
Landers.
And some of the people that people put like they were forgotten, Tatum O'Neill, Christy McNichol. Christy McNichol was never hot.
No.
Yeah.
No, she wasn't.
And, of course, there's like an angry guy on here like you forgot Pam Grier.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And for those out there that have more names that we did not say or mention tonight, please give us a call right now and let us know who
yeah.
your picks are. 347-857-3667.
And be aware, that's not my choice. That was done by a IMDb user by the name
sure.
of Fanboy0707. So if you don't like the top 30 hottest chicks or sexiest female stars of the 70s, blame Fanboy0707. Personally, I think he put together a hell of a list there. Hell of a list. All right, so what did you want me to look up on IMDb, bro? You were saying Caveman, which Dennis Quaid. And this came out in the 1981. Ringo Starr came right up. Wow, how did I not know about this movie?
Oh, I can't believe
okay,
you never saw
it. Okay, so here we go. Caveman, in a world where a caveman
yep.
seeks revenge on a much larger competitor for a handful of beautiful cave women. Oh, it's got Shelley, young, hot Shelley Long in it.
Yep.
Like pre-Cheers Shelley Long.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah, wait, it's 4 year pre-Cheer.
And it's got Barbara Bach, Dennis Quaid,
that's it.
Ringo Starr.
That's it. Now, look,
yeah,
at, look at the photos of Barbara Bach in Caveman. And let me know what you think.
All right, well, there's nothing coming up on here, so I'm going to have to go to Google search. But she was one of the women that was listed, and I wasn't really familiar with her work. Of course, you do know if I was going to put in 70s, how could you forget Pamela Sue Martin? If I had to say someone was missing from that list, I'm saying Pamela Sue Martin.
Yeah, I agree.
I was in love with her when I saw... what was that movie called with the ship and the sinking and the Poseidon Adventure?
Oh, great, great film. Great film.
Yeah, oh, one of the greatest films of all time. All right, so Barbara Bach, we're going to go, oh, wow. Yeah, she was a Bond girl, wasn't she?
Yes. The first one with, I think she was the first one with, what's his name? Pierce
she
Brosnan.
She was the one with, no, not Pierce Brosnan. I think she was the one with the Russians. And it was
yeah,
the first
was a
one, Roger Moore. Was it the Spy Who Loved Me?
Yeah,
no,
she had short hair.
Let me see. I gotta find here. All right, okay, so I'm definitely right. She's on bondgirls.net. So I got to find out which one. It's definitely, there's a picture of her standing next to Roger Moore.
Okay.
But it doesn't say which one it is. I'm almost positive it's the Spy Who Loved Me. Almost
okay.
positive. Let me see here. But you're right, man. Absolutely gorgeous. Not a bad-looking woman
oh,
now.
Yeah.
They got a picture of her up here now. Not a bad-looking woman.
Oh, really? What is she
oh,
about?
I see the picture. I see the picture of her for Caveman. Yeah. She's wearing like a cave out with her boobs all hanging out. This is classic. Oh, Lord.
Insane, right?
Yeah. Ringo Starr's all pressing up on her in this other picture.
It was, I can't believe you never saw it, dude. That's why it's
never
a funny
seen,
film.
Is it? But,
yeah,
like, is it outlandish comedy? See, I hate outlandish comedy. Like, anything
well,
like, all right, she's
well,
born in 1947, bro.
No, well, you know what's funny, dude? If you watch it, it's like the dinosaurs look like the dinosaurs from the old Land of the Lost TV show.
Oh, Land of the Lost is the shit.
Yeah, there's a scene where they give a T-Rex these berries that get him like ecstasy, and they give this T-Rex with that so they can get away from him and grab food from somewhere else. To keep him distracted, all these berries, which is like ecstasy. So you see him kind of goofy, laying back, and he's playing with himself, if you know what I mean.
That's great. I get what you're getting. So here we go. Barbara Bach, born Barbara Goldbach, August 27, 1947, an American actress and model known as Bond girl Anya Amasova from the James Bond film The Spy Who Loved Me. She
sure.
subsequently starred in Force 10 from Navarone with Robert Shaw and Harrison Ford, and she is married to former Beatle Ringo Starr.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure they got married after they made that. I guess they fell in love while making that movie. I don't know how long they've been married, but...
Yeah, it says Bach met Ringo Starr on the set of the film Caveman in February 1980. They were married on April 27, 1981, a few weeks after the film's release.
Yep.
Huh.
Yeah,
they live
me
in the English village of Cronley.
Yeah, no one did more. I got to tell you, that guy, no one dropped more acid than Ringo Starr. I don't know how. He did more acid than Jimi Hendrix. And what was that fat woman that choked on a fucking ham sandwich? Mama Cass.
Mama Cass. Oh,
you know what I mean?
Lord. That's funny.
Fuck yeah, it is.
That's true. Mama fucking Cass. It's just funny. So, yeah, man. So, definitely a hottie. But I think missing from that 70s list is one Pamela Sue Martin. Let's see what she's up to these days.
Yeah.
This should just be called like the stalker show.
Yeah, it's or the awkward stalker show.
The awkward stalker show. All right, she was born January 5th, 1953. She was best known for playing Nancy Drew on the Hardy Boys Nancy Drew Mysteries.
Excellent show too. That's one of my favorites. Ever.
Yeah, and she also played Fallon Carrington Colby on ABC's nighttime drama, soap opera, Dynasty. No pictures of her, though. Not up. Talks about her being in the Poseidon Adventure. And that was a very good-looking girl, no doubt about it. Matter of fact, probably my first crush was Pamela Sue Martin.
Really? That's interesting.
Yeah. So give us a call here on the House of Armageddon. This is the guest call online, 347-857-3667. Let us know who your first crush was. I'm going with Pamela Sue Martin from the Poseidon Adventure. Kerner, who are you going with?
Barbara Bach.
Good choice. We got some good choices going here. And,
we
have
great choices.
All right, your first favorite horror movie as a kid? I already mentioned mine, so it's kind of unfair.
Oh, man, my first favorite horror film as a kid. Geez, that's really a hard one, man, because you know what? I have, I got four of them, and they're all equal to me. I got The Exorcist, of course.
Okay.
I have, the original Dracula, original Frankenstein, original Wolfman. I mean, those were the movies when you were a kid. You know, that's stuff that they played. We didn't have cable. You know, they didn't have cable. So Saturday nights at 11 o'clock on Channel 13, they used to play the oldies. you know, the horror things. And I remember being so scared, and I just thought it was great. But that's it. Yeah, that's my call, man. Definitely. Hands down.
Yeah, man. Mine was the Amityville Horror.
The original.
I love the Amityville Horror. The original. The Amityville Horror, probably The Exorcist. The one that scared me as a kid, but I don't think I've ever watched it since, not because I was scared, but because I didn't quite understand it. The woman she died last year, Karen Black. Was it Burnt Offerings?
Burnt Offerings, excellent film. And Oliver Reed was her husband, correct?
Yeah, and I, to this day I don't know what the movie was about because I just haven't – I think I've seen it in bits and pieces through the years. I've caught it again. But I watched it one time straight through when I was probably about six. And it was in black and white on my little black and white TV. I used to go over on, like, you know, Saturday mornings and steal the little black and white TV out of my parents' bedroom and then carry it down the hallway to my room and plug it in. And one night I did it late night, Friday night, so it would be there in the morning, and I couldn't fall asleep. So I was like 6 years old, and I remember watching Burnt Offerings. Yeah, I don't fuck a six-year-old up.
Yeah, dude, that was spooky. I got that movie. It's funny you say because I own it. I have that.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I got that movie.
I got to sit through and watch it again one time straight through, because through the years I've only caught it in bits and pieces. And I just remember as a kid it had an effect on me. I couldn't even tell you what the movie was about. I just remember they moved to this house. What was it about, bro? Help me.
They moved into a house, and they got to live in the house with barely paying nothing for rent, this big mansion, if they gave the old woman on the top house had like four floors. The top floor belonged to the old woman who owned the house.
It was Betty Davis, right?
No, the old woman. And if you recall, it was just Karen Black would go up and bring sandwiches, and then she became the old lady. So there was an old lady. It was a ghost, and it turned Karen Black into her. You don't remember that?
Not really. I remember at the end, didn't the house, like, burn down at the end? She was looking out the window as it burned down.
Oh, jeez. I don't remember.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember, man.
Yeah.
Burnt down. I remember that he went in, and Betty Davis lived in the cottage on the property.
Okay.
Let me ask you a question. Did you ever see that movie with Betty Davis and Joan Crawford, Whatever Happened to Baby Jane?
No more wire hangers!
I'm not joking, dude. She was terrifying, Betty Davis, in this movie. No, seriously, her face and her makeup, and she was terrifying, dude.
That was the one, No More Wire Hangers, right? Or no, that
no,
was
that's
that
Mommy,
was the movie.
That's Mommy
that
Dearest.
That's Mommy Dearest. You're right. You're right. Okay, so let's go back. So it wasn't Mommy Dearest. You're talking about – give it to me. What was it you're talking about again?
The name of the movie is Whatever Happened to Baby Jane.
To Baby Jane. Oh, wait a second. That's the one where she was like in the crib, but she's an adult now?
Yes.
Yeah, that movie was weird.
If you can – look that shit up, bro, and just look at her face. Her face is so scary, and her sister is a cripple and blames her sister for her failed career. She was a childhood actress on a show where she played Baby Jane, and she's delusional. And it was just so friggin' – there it is fucking – it was friggin' fucking spooky as shit.
Yeah,
it was,
I mean, that's one I probably saw it as a kid. You can see there wasn't a whole lot of parental supervision going on in my house. I do remember seeing this movie, but I truthfully don't remember much about it. But I do remember that they made the movie about her, and I just remember beating the kids with the wire hangers. Am I getting that right? That was supposed to be Betty Davis, right? Or Joan Crawford?
No, you got it right, bro. She's like, what's this doing in your closet? What did I say to you? You have no respect. You don't care or respect anything I've gotten. Beautiful dress. beautiful dresses on these hangers. That's why I have these beautiful hangers I made, had custom made for you. No wire hangers. That she starts beating her with it. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
Oh, my God. Oh, that's horrible.
It's terrifying. Dude, it was
horrible. It's funny. When you say it like that, it's not as funny. Oh, yeah, here. Betty Davis left as baby Jane Hudson. And Joan Crawford as her sister Blanche Hudson. Yeah, she is scary looking.
Terrifying,
dun,
bro.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dude.
Well, here was
terrifying.
The film's accolades. It won an Academy Award for Best Actress. She was nominated but didn't win. Best Actor in a Supporting Role, Victor Buno. Best Costume Design winner, Norma Koch. Cinematography nominee, Best Sound nominee, Best Foreign Actress nominee, Best Foreign Actress nominee. So, yeah, it was definitely very popular.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was a very good movie, but you really feel for Joan Crawford's character. You really do. You're watching and you're like, God damn. Why can't she just catch a break? And it's an excellent movie. Betty Davis is like, she's a has-been, washed-up childhood actress that nobody is interested in, nobody wants, and she thinks she's still, like, famous, and she's so delusional.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent, though.
Wow.
Excellent, excellent, excellent film.
That is
That's
crazy.
Black and white. A lot of people don't like black and white films, you know, so if you're watching it, I don't want you getting pissed, but, you know, check it out. It's worth it.
Check it out. Whatever happened to Baby Jane? So, Dan, we're down to the last 3 minutes of the show, brother. What do you want to close
right.
with? What do you want to talk about? And who do you want to give a shout-out to?
I'll tell you the truth. I want to give a shout-out to, you know, my partner, you, who's been working with you and coming close to you. It's not. It really is a partnership, and like a partnership is a marriage, you know, and greatest guy in the world. Love you, Ed McKeever.
Thanks, brother.
And
thank you, brother.
My
Same
whole,
here.
Oh, you're welcome. Our whole Walking Dead Films crew and fans, we got a huge fan base. You know, you guys are great. You give us the reason why we do what we do. Again, you know, East Coast Ink and Body Piercing in Kingsburg, New Jersey. Incredible. That's where my crew gets their tattoos from Walking Dead Films. They are great. Gene Snitsky, who's a star of our upcoming film Manhunt. You know, Gene plays Buck Seavers in the film. Gene is just excellent. He's been so busy lately. He's been on TNA. He was at WWE just recently on TNA Wrestling, Impact Wrestling. He always has a full card, man, but he always makes time, you know, to work with us and to see how we're doing, and we do the same with him. And my family, my beautiful wife, Cecilia, it's my rock. She's everything been behind me, thick and thin. You know, and, you know, very supportive of what we do, you know, for a living. And my kids, you know, Lana, Shay, Caden, I'm just very fortunate to have a great family, great friends, and great projects on the horizon. That's really it.
Yes, sir. And I'm sure you heard that prompt. We're down to our last 90 seconds. I just want to ponder this question. Have you ever seen this movie? Whatever Happened to Kevin Oros?
Oh, my God. Dude, September's around the corner. That's a great thing. We should say that. Put that in on our website. You know, looking to look, you know, our next film, undated, because it could be several years from now when we actually see him, Whatever Happened to Kevin Oros? Oh,
Whatever
yeah.
happened to Kevin Oros? So, Kevin, if
Isn't
you're there,
coming
if you're
back,
listening, we're...
He's coming back.
I don't know, bro.
Here.
I don't know. I'm just fucking around with you, brother. I don't know. Kevin, we love you if you're out there. Ryan the Kid Lockie, if you're out there anywhere, we love you. And Rude Ron and Dave, you fucks need
Tony.
To call in. And Tony does call
yeah.
in. You know, even though I got stuff to do, Eddie, I got to drive my truck.
That's fucked up. And let's just, I don't want, one guy we can't leave out, Anthony Curry. Fuck Anthony Curry.
Fuck Anthony Curry.
Exactly.
And, of course, also my man, Jay Lee, Ernie O'Donnell, all the Walking Dead
oh,
film
yeah.
family, Gene Snitsky, and, watch out, everybody. It's coming. Go to WalkingDeadFilms.com. Visit Armageddon Ed on Facebook. And visit Walking Dead Films on Facebook. We're
yep.
down to our last 10 seconds. So, brother, I love
Good
you.
Good night,
I'll
everybody.
Talk to you soon. Be safe.
See you next
good
week.
Good night, everybody.
Bye-bye.
This has been the House of Armageddon. Have a good night.